with Allah's favors on us, and we will get Allah's favor if we do that. And time, who knows? As someone said to me on the plane, just coming over here today, who knows? Maybe one day America will be majority Muslim. When I started out, I didn't see this many people coming for Jummah.
That's right.
And I see people for as far as the walls are. I see people extending from my here about 8 feet from my finger or less, all the way back to that wall back there, and it looks like to me it's the fourth of a block. Now, you know, as excited as I am on Jummah Day, I'm sure it's appearing to be more distant than what it is. I'm sure of that. I'm sure it's not quite a block, but it looks like it's a block wide and a block deep. And I don't mind being fooled like that. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, and that kind of a treatment of the mind, you know, that comes to one who's in love with God and in love with His Word and in love with His Prophet and in love with the religion and the life of the Muslim. When you're in love with that, brother, that kind of treatment of the mind, it works positively for us. It works to strengthen us. But understand too, it's a weapon in the hands of the believers. Because those who hate you, they will look too. And when they see your strength, when they see your faith, when they see your intention and your determination, they get the same results that I just got. They look out there and they see two blocks. I saw one block. They'll see two blocks. Hey, they had two blocks of people there on the Jummah, on that Friday day. Allahu Akbar, glorify God. God is greater. Yes. So we have a great mission. We have a mission as Muslims, and we have a mission as African Americans. We have a mission as Muslims, and we have a mission as Africans lost and now found in America. Praise be to Allah. And we will pick up the covenant that the civil rights movement dropped. We'll pick up the covenant that the separatists dropped, that the black nationalists dropped. We'll pick up that covenant that was once in the hand of Frederick Douglass and others. We'll pick up that covenant, and we will stand like they stood and say, God is my staff. Huh? God is my support. God is my guide. God is my friend. And I know God is against wrong. I know God is against evil. I know God is against injustice. I know God is against falsehood. And I am determined to be a fighter on the side of God, and I know I can't lose. I got God on my side. Yes. And I'm fighting for Islam. And I'm fighting for Muslims. And I'm fighting for African Americans. And I'm fighting for all Americans. And I'm fighting for all people. Huh? Oh, buddy. That's a mighty friend of God. That's the friend that we want to become. We want to become that friend who will stand up and face first things, accept first things, first obligations to self, to family, to your people, to your neighborhood, to the block you're living on, but also extend that goodness, extend it so that no human being on the face of this earth is left out of it. Then that's the true Muslim. That's the universal man. That mission is the mission of the African American who embraced Islam. That is our mission. Why did those who call themselves Christian drop the covenant? because it was not their mission. That mission was to come to the black man that would stand up and say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's the man that was to take up that covenant. The future belonged to God. And we have a great mission in that future. A great mission. As I conclude this khutbah, you are no ordinary people. You are not in any ordinary time. You are not in any ordinary country. Your history is not ordinary. This country's history is not ordinary. You are caught up in a whole lot of extraordinary. And you have the most extraordinary ideology on earth, Al-Islam. Well, you may not know where you should be, but I do. And quite a number with me now, they know too. And believe me, we are determined. We are determined. It's out of our hands. It's not even our hands anymore. We can't even make any decision there over it anymore. No! It has caught us up like a great power, too big for our spirit, too big for our minds, too big for our bodies. We just caught up in it. It's out of our hands. We are going all the way for Allah. We're going to see America become a greater America, a greater America, for Allah. Yes. Our shame was not a small thing. It was a big thing. This world reduced us, shamed us, shamed our human worth. It was not a small thing, it was a big thing. Now, opportunity has come. Allah's mercy and His blessings have come to us, the blessing of Islam. And we find ourselves now in this great time and in this great country, powerful country still. We shouldn't underestimate ourselves. We are a people with an extraordinary mission, with a very rare mission that's hardly ever given to people, where little people, so small that nobody regarded them in big things, is now given the biggest responsibility of all. That is responsibility for the life and the good future of the life for ourselves and for the society. God made Muhammad a mercy to all the world. And God says of his excellent character and lifestyle that surely whoever believes in God and in the hereafter, the last day of judgment, they will find in Muhammad an excellent model. Uswatan Hasana. And Allah says what? We, the believers, we are supposed to be witnesses for God. We are supposed to be witnesses for God. How are we going to witness God? With our behavior, with our determination, with our goals that we set. That's how we witness Allah. We are to be witnesses, Allah says, and they will be a witness for Muhammad too. And he will be a witness for or against them in the judgment. Yes. To be a witness means that we have to accept the mission entrusted to our prophet. The prophet is not here physically as a person, as that person that was born in the vicinity of Mecca and Mecca, 571 AD about. No. But in terms of his mission, what he was all about, he's not here in one body, he's here in 1 billion bodies. 1 billion bodies. 1 billion Muslims or more populate the world today. So he's here in 1 billion bodies. And each of us, if we have the Prophet in our hearts, and we study his life, and we study the Quran, we are going to feel obligated to live this religion as the Prophet would live it if he was here.
Right.
Now, as much as we perfect that, the Prophet will be present, not in one body, but in millions. So don't think the Prophet has gone. Speak not of my servants as dead, for they are alive, and you perceive it not. They're not only alive with God and God's care, return to him, as you say. They're not only alive in that sense, they are alive in their mission and in their purpose. And that's what's bigger. That's what's more important. They are still alive in their mission and in their purpose. And if you be a receptor for them, for the word and for the prophet, then that is alive in you. Yes. I don't look in the mirror and see the prophet. No. I know. I look in the mirror, I see myself. My mother told me my name a long time ago. I know who I see in the glass. But I love this religion so much. I've studied the prophet's life. I love him so much. Until I feel his presence more than I feel the presence of those closest to me. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I feel his presence so close, sometimes it's spooky. Feel it so close, I greet him. And sometimes I can't help but cry, shed tears. I say, oh, wonderful man, perfect man, the greatest man God created. I love to follow you. Yes, I say to him like I'm talking to him. He doesn't talk back. I'm not. He doesn't talk back. But I be talking to him. I say, I love you. I say, I wish I had lived when you were living so that I could have been by your side and so that I could have gone to battle and fought some of the enemies that were mistreating you and being ugly to you. I wish I had a chance at some of them. Yes. Yes. As that grow in our hearts and in our children's hearts, Allah is going to love us more. Allah love us for loving him. Yes. God love you for loving God. God love you. But God loves you more for loving another human being. And especially the best human being, Muhammad the Prophet. Because God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us. Our loving God does not touch or reach God like our loving Muhammad, the one that he gave us. Yes, no. And believe me, you will love Muhammad because you understand God's gift to mankind. Yes. That's what it will increase your love. So it won't decrease your love for God as you increase your love for Muhammad. You will only be able to increase that love continuously and endlessly as you come to see him more and more as not just a Muhammad to Muslims or a Muhammad to you, but as a Muhammad to every living person walking the face of the earth. That's what makes the mission a heavy obligation on your shoulders, a heavy weight on your back. When you say, hey, God sent Muhammad to be all that the whole humanity needs. Kaf and Linnas. And God has sent him to answer all the needs, to fulfill all the needs in people. The whole people, the Nas, the people all on earth. So I just can't be satisfied having this religion in my bottle that I carry around with me to drink whenever I want. I have to make this religion available to the many. And as I said, not by just preaching, by the way you live, by your lifestyle. That's the powerful dawah, your lifestyle. And your lifestyle cannot be an impoverished lifestyle. So educators, seek more growth, seek more accomplishments. Medicine people, doctors, do the same. Law people do the same. Yes, business people do the same. And if all of us will seek to be extraordinary in all the things that we are involved in, or in all the good things that we are involved with, then we will steadily grow not only in numbers, but in significance, in worth to ourselves, to our Muslim community, and to the society at large. We'll become supports ourselves with our accomplishments. We'll become supports that will enable the society to rest at night, to wake up feeling good, to have a future every day, to have another day, every day. This is a big mission. This is a big mission. And I could talk about it for a long, long time. But I'm going to conclude with these words, that God has given us a good life, a Muslim life. He has preferred this life for us. He said he preferred this life for us, meaning that there are other lives that he doesn't do away with. He doesn't say, this is trashy life, I don't want it anymore. But there's one that he looked at and he said, that's the one I prefer. He preferred Islam for us. He preferred the religion of Islam for us. He preferred the Muslim life in Islam for us. This is God's preference. When God says, I prefer it, means that's his preference. This is God's preference. Now, God has preferred us, for us, Islam. And God has said that he'd give us for our deeds the good that we earn and also the harm that we earn, the benefit and the bad consequences. And he says he give it to us in this life. But you won't get the fullness of that until after this life. But you get it in this life. So don't be like the average spiritual person worrying about, am I going to hell? Ask, am I in hell? It's right here. Ask, am I in hell? If I am, can I get help? Have I been neglecting my prayers? Have I been neglecting my wudu? Have I been neglecting my Quran reading? Have I been neglecting my Jummah? Have I been neglecting my community? Ask these questions. After asking, am I in hell? And some of you may say, no, I'm not in hell. I got a piece of paradise. Then say, thank you, God. Forgive me for my errors and my sins and my wrongs. And don't take this blessing away from me. Let me continue to live in this small piece of paradise. Yes. and then hope that others will have the same. One of my prayers is this, that God forgive and have mercy on people and give them the condition of Jannah in their souls. The condition of Jannah, the paradise, for their souls. You can have that in this world every day in America, in Harlem, on 125th Street. Oh, no, on 116th Street in Harlem. Yeah, you can have that. Paradise as the condition for your soul. This is possible for anyone who devote themselves wholly to God, as Abraham did. And though he was in the fire couldn't touch him. God said, make fire be cool for Abraham. This is Quran. Allah said, fire be cool for Abraham. So we thank Allah for the blessings of this religion, for the gift of this religion on us that is a mercy, and we thank him for guiding us, waking us up from corruption, from sin, from ignorance, from foolishness, from wasting our lives, and standing us up as Muslims. We thank Allah for all those who have made some effort, poorly equipped, some not equipped at all, but their intentions were good. We thank Allah for their efforts over these many years, 60-some years now, that we have been pursuing Quran, pursuing Islam, pursuing the life of Islam and the life of Muslims. We thank Allah for all the help that has come to us over this long period. And we thank him for now beautifying us. And I conclude with these words, I can stand on top of the world and tell anyone that the most beautiful community is here in the wilds of North America. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Spokesman for Human Salvation, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. Thanks for listening.